JE Mobile. One JE KD two VNG Mobile. Good afternoon.
KB four CBA Mobile. Good afternoon to the two of you.
I'm just about to jump out again, but the other call sign I don't think I've heard in a while or ever.
The other station in there.
Either of us, you can go.
Maybe got a phone call or something.
That's not a call sign I've heard.
I'm familiar with it, but I've heard several new call signs in the last few weeks. Of course, I mean, I'm not on here all the time, but I do try to monitor some when I'm at the house. I just turn on the HT monitor what's going on.
Never have enough radios. Gigaparts has another one of these for like $110. Kenwood TM281A. It's slightly used, but for that price, it might almost be worth it.
Dual bander.
This one, 2 meter single band. Normally these are like 130, 150, but I think they had an open box for about 118, and they had a slightly used one for about 110. That's over at Gigaparts. Or fix that ICOM V8000, whatever. Fix that one. That's got to be a simple thing. It's simply a question of the speaker cutting out.
I'd like to get a 2 meter 440 and do some cross band so I can use my Baofeng and not have to worry about hitting the repeater with it from inside the house, because I don't even think I hadn't even tried, but I usually, if I want to talk to somebody on my Baofeng, I have to go outside and talk.
The radio that's on my desk right now, Kenwood TM733. It's an older dual bander, maybe mid to early 90s, but, little thing. Puts out 50 watts, though, and it does do crossband.
What you want for it?
I hadn't thought about getting rid of it. Let's see. What did I pay? I think I got it from HRO. I forget what I paid for it. What can I tell you?
150?
What is it? The only point of concession. I think they were made in the early 90s. They're not PC programmable. So, make me a counteroffer.
Hey, well, why don't we do this on the phone?
Sure. If your number's in QRZ and you're in QRZ, I guess I got your phone number.
What? My email address is in QRZ, and I can email you back my phone number.
Very good. Not that I... it's a nice little radio. I was going to use it for something, but, I've got that ICOM that I got from Don, K4 something PFI, that ICOM, it's probably an easy fix. The speaker is intermittently cutting out. It might be a question of open it up and blow out all the 20 years worth of dust. It might be just that simple. Yeah, I probably have enough 2 meter radios that I can let that one go.
I tell you, I've got a handful of HTs. This guy, I bought some stuff from him, and he had a box full of stuff, and there was two or three HTs in there. It was an old Icon HT that I have never seen, and it's almost as wide as it is tall. It's a lot wider than any HT I've ever seen. And I bet in its day it was a pretty high price unit, but now it's it's something you put on the shelf. I think it puts out about 7 watts, but I don't have a battery for it. I did plug it into the power supply and just see if it works, and it does. So, and there was a Kenwood in that box, and a couple of 2 meter rigs, 2 meter mobiles. One of them worked, one of them didn't. So the main reason I bought it was the box was for the 30 amp power supply. I had an Astron RS30 power supply in it, and it looked almost brand new. So, and I needed one to run my HF. So that worked out good.
Think of a price that's worthwhile for that. Kenwood TM 733. You could look it up, I suppose. It's a dual bander. There's two antenna outputs. I'll throw in the little duplexer that I've got with it if you want. And detachable control head, although I don't have the little separation cable. The cable is only like a 4-pin cable, but they probably want $50 for it. Well, you could probably make something. But, you know, it's not often that, you know, most hams will tell you they never have enough radios. But I don't, I'll see what I can get for it. I wasn't planning on selling it. It's, you know, whatever you want to do.
Well, just look me up on QRZ and email me, or you can just email me your phone number and I'll call you back. That'd be the easiest thing to do. And we'll see if we can agree on a price there.
As I said, you know, the place where I found that thing was on HRO. So, you always, every couple of days, every week or so, check there under the used equipment. Because I think that was an HRO thing. I forget what I paid for it, 100 and something, I don't remember. But, you know, it's a nice little radio. It's not computer programmable, though. Which, you know, if there's only half a dozen stations around here that are worthwhile having, doesn't really matter that much.
For CBA. I don't care anything about that. The only time I want computer programming is on that bow thing, I tell you. That thing's like, you gotta do so many buttons, and it is just unbelievable. I put a couple of two or three or four frequencies in it when I bought it, but I bought the cable and the software, and man, it's so easy. And if you ever want to add to it, you can just plug it back in and to the computer and bring up the program and add your frequency in, and it just goes right in. And so I just have to hang on to that cable. Try to keep it somewhere with the rest of my ham stuff so I know what it is.
Save the code plug. So you make a dozen different code plugs for different uses of the radio. Yeah, no, those are nasty to program. almost all the Chinese radios are. I actually have one brand. I wouldn't know how to pronounce this. It's Puxing, Puxing. It's one of like, it's like the, not the crappiest Chinese brand. It's like the second tier Chinese brand. That particular one I like because programming and operating are separate features. You know, you bring it up, hold down the enter key and some other key, and turn it on, and it comes up in programming mode, which makes things easier. Yeah, otherwise, for most of the others, even for things like Yaesu or Kenwood, or, you know, I don't like, I'd rather not, I'd rather have the software.
The bow things like that, you gotta hold down a button and turn it on to get it in program mode, and then you gotta take it out of program mode and do the same, turn it back off and do the same thing again, and it goes back into, I don't know what mode they call that, but anyway, operation mode, I think. But anyway, I've got mine set up like I want it now, and but I don't talk on it a whole lot. I talked on it one day this week, though. I was out putting, I think it was Tuesday, I was putting rear brake pads on my Mustang, and I had it sitting out there, and I was talking to a few people, and you know, it hits the repeater fine as long as you're outside. And I bought the a little better antenna for it too.
Work almost as well as mobile radios. You get the little wireman has them. A bunch of people have them. You know, the little pigtail that goes from SMA or reverse SMA or whatever the hell it is to PL 258 259 connector. So now you can use your regular mobile antenna. That actually works quite well, you know, when you have the mobile radio, when you have the portable radio in the car. And yeah, they do, there is another antenna you could buy. But that's what I would do with a thing like that, is I would, the little adapter pigtail to hook it into, you know, an actual antenna, your home antenna or your car antenna.
I've got a mag mount, a dual band mag mount antenna I can use on my wife's car, and I've got the cigarette lighter plug in for the battery, so you don't have to worry about your battery going dead. And let's see what else. Oh yeah, it's interesting because when I put my when I bought my diamond antenna, my dual band diamond antenna for this car, it came with the SMA on the end, so I had to buy a converter to the PL259. And but I really like it because it's got a little tiny wire, and it's not hard to run, you know, under the carpet and all that. Well, I'm pulling in the driveway, Glenn, so I'm gonna bail out of here on you. And I'm gonna go inside. I think my wife's about got supper ready. We eat supper kinda early. And then we have a little snack before we get to bed. But anyway, I'll say 73s and I'll clear out of here if you're fine, okay? KD2BNG, KB4CBA, clear.
KD2BNG. Yeah, all right. I'll shoot you an email, and we'll deal with that other radio if you want it. But all right, yeah, I got some more, one or two more shopping things to do, and I got to go head home myself. So 73s, and we'll talk to you later. KD2BNG, clear.
GKN4TFW. How you doing this evening, Kevin?
Oh, doing good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, doing pretty good over here. I'm waiting Hampton to easily go out and get something to eat.
I'm coming out of Lear right here behind Swift Trucking on 101, crossing BMW. Fixing to be on 101 at 85 South. Call it a day. Go home with 10 zip knot on my head.
Moved up today?
I got in too big a hurry to get on the forklift, and it's got one of them little short roots on it. You know, it's not, you know, the rollover cage thing. And boy, I run all into that joker and knock my hat off. I mean, it looked like a thousand or a million or 7 million or something bright light above my eyeballs. And I about fell over backwards and I grabbed myself and, you know, caught myself. But it didn't knock me out, but it just about did. I'll put it that way. I was full speed, too, getting in that forklift. I was in a hurry trying to get done before the rain hit again. And it tore a little skin off, left a little blood up there.
Be all right. And that, how'd the antenna work out last night?
I tore, man. I got home and my daggone dryer tore up on me, and I had to go dig the other dryer out and take that one out, swap the wires on it, and got it all put back together last night. I'm hoping to do it tonight or this weekend one.
Good night out there tonight to do it. Hey, did you get the text I sent you?
I meant to put it in my number list thing. I'm gonna add you into the phone list. I got it last night. I was gonna text you back and tell you, but man, I got home and I don't know. I felt like I was about to have a heart attack yesterday afternoon. My chest was just beating like crazy, and I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's because yesterday we had a dock leveler. It's a board that, you know, they cut a hole in the floor and put it in the floor. Well, we went to get ready to leave, and we done had the forklift on the trailer, and the only thing we had to do was pop it up and weld two bumpers on and be gone, you know, because the bumpers is under there. And the chain wasn't hooked. I guess when the factory put it together, they didn't hook the chain. I wasn't about to take the lift back off, and I grabbed that daggone thing and raised it up, stretched that hole down out about 3 inches to get that lift up out of them pockets where it sits. And I don't know if I'd done something yesterday, but boy, I tell you what, I was in pain half the night last night.
It's just a pulled muscle and nothing more serious than that. KN4 TFW.
KBG. Yeah, that thing weighs, I don't know, that thing weighs about 400 and something, 500 pounds probably. And I had to stretch it. I mean, you know, it didn't help much that hold down was holding it down, you know. That was, I don't know, I'd probably put it up close to, you know, 450, 500 pounds I was trying to pick up to get it out of there, but I got it out of there. And about 10 minutes after that, we was on the way down the road. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm careful tonight. It's bound to be, if you want, Friday night, rainy and everything. Just be really careful out there on the way home.
On 85 now in front of BMW headed southbound. That's a 59 mile marker.
Confident
here, Cash. Okay, Jack, come back to me one more time.
That big old trailer again?
Dragging the trailer today. I left that one on the job tonight. I had the one that my buddy was dragging yesterday. I had it behind me this morning. Took it to the job and left it in the forklift on the job site so they could use it Monday. They got a big old long truck restraint thing they're going to put in Monday. Thing's about 10 feet long. It slides through under the truck some way and latches onto the wheels. And they're going to put that thing in, so I left it up there.
You only have to worry about yourself today on the way going home.
I'm going to get to worry with some snow earlier. Just putting it down where it leered earlier.
Our house in Greer, it covered the deck and tried to cover the grass before it changed the rain. It was pretty to watch.
Yeah, it started out sleeting first. It sleeted for about 20 minutes, and then it started turning off into snow, and the snowflakes got about as big as nickels, and it started covering the grass and the ground over there, and I mean, I could tell everywhere I went with the forklift, you know, because it squished out the snow and the slush out under the lift, you know. So, man, we're going to get some snow, and it wasn't long after that it turned off in the rain and turned colder.
They're right to the power supply, and we'll see what happens. This way, if I got a bad inch underground, we'll see what happens.
It's pretty good right now.
I want to cool off on purpose to see if it would, when it got hot, if it would do it. I don't know what it is, but we'll find out. I can hear all you guys all right. A little scratch, but not bad.
From my side, that's a 56-mile marker, Highway 14, southbound 85.
Heat pumps on, so you might hear a little bit from that, but when that shuts off, but it seems, I mean, I grounded it through the power supply. You know, you got to watch out for doing that, though. I'm going to warn you guys about something. I got to take this power supply apart and put a capacitor in there, because Astron does not put a capacitor on the output of the power supply where they like they should on the ground side. You got to watch it. You can get things melted that way.
Yeah, I got a 20 amp power supply at home. Astron that I got. That's what I run my HF rig and my spin meter off of, and a couple other things.
Pop the lid off that thing and put a .001 and a .01 to ground on the output side of that thing, so that way the AC line can't get, because the AC line is grounded right through that. So on that transformer, put that ground there, put that capacitor there, because I had an incident with my ground and it blew my power supply. The whole power supply board got blown up.
I have to check that out.
This transmitter warm back up. And see what happens, and see if it doesn't, it gets worse when it gets hot. Really good. You know, your signal sounds really strong. You got a good signal over into the repeater.
Yeah, it does pretty good. I mean, I've traveled a good distance with it. I mean, I've been outside the umbrella in several places, outside the coverage area, and still has the repeater pretty good. And considering it's a mag mount cell phone antenna.
Truck, but apparently it works pretty good wherever you got it.
And data center at the top of the cab right there. It's got some little pockets up there, little grooves in the cab. And I got it sitting in one of them little grooves right there up towards the front of the cab. I wish it was a little bit longer, because my ladders and everything else on top of the truck sticks up past it.
To work pretty good. Well, you got it. Doesn't seem to bother it.
I mean, I've done a good job putting this thing in here, considering I've never hooked up a ham radio in the truck before, you know, up until I did this one. And I just got it run through the door and kind of folded around through the rubber inside the door there. It does pretty good. I like it. And try to find me another one. I got to get me one more mobile. I might end up getting me two more mobiles. And put one in my personal car and put one in my little personal truck. I got a mobile at home that I use for a base unit.
You're doing really well. I'm pretty impressed with it.
It does pretty decent on Simplex too. Bit of a range on Simplex. I mean, I can get about 35, 40 miles on Simplex, you know, mobile to mobile, you know, before I start losing somebody.
A real lesson at building antennas, I was on 6 meter AM a couple of times. Boy, 6 meter, man, if you don't have a good antenna, you're sunk. Over here with a trans, I'm not sure where it is either.
The ICOM 706 is the only one you got now, right?
I can always fly directly to the transmitter and see if they have an antenna issue. But I can't figure this thing out. It's driving me nuts. I to the transmitter, and I got no quick start, so I can't look at the battery power to find out if it's what's going on with this stupid thing.
Battery problem or antenna problem, if you don't know.
I heard the transmitter, the pile's getting hot. Sometimes it doesn't stay locked on frequency, so I don't know if I programmed it into something and unlocked it, and I'm in a mess somehow. I don't know. I can't see to get out of it.
I can help you. Even if I could see it, that was never the easiest. Well, it was easier to deal with than the ICOM 718.
718 was for me. I'm sure it's easy once you're used to it. It's a good transmitter, 718, but boy, I didn't know that transmitter didn't have two-year FM capabilities. I thought it did have 10-meter FM, but I didn't know it didn't.
Does. But it's that one you hated. That Yaesu does 2-meter FM. And I think there's even a bunch of switches that said PL zone.
It has such a poor RF get in everything. It's such a bad file design. RF gets in that thing real bad.
Conclusion we came to. I mean, it was even doing something like triggering the Vox, or you're actually, believe it or not, you used it more than I ever did.
My antenna's so bad. Now, if you put an antenna up your house, you might not have that problem.
Using it basically on an open line. You know, an unbalanced, you know, just end-fed, unbalanced, whatever, that was strung between the two utility poles. And, you know, it actually did okay on that.
If you're going to don't use the antenna tuner in it, what you got to do is that tuner is only good at 3-to-1. If you're going to do that, put a ballon at the feed point where the open wire line is, then use the tuner to tune into that. It will work fine. Because I didn't realize those tuners are good, but usually you can get away with a lot, you know.
These years later, I say I'm going to fix my HF antenna or put up something better than just a random wire.
Got the room for wire, you can do that. I don't.
To really do it is if I could go a couple hundred feet longer. Well, let's see, the two utility poles are over 100 feet apart. Maybe 120, 130 feet apart. And they're probably at least 25 feet high, 30 feet high. So, you know, I just had the end-fed random wires strung between the two poles. And that actually worked well. Actually, it worked better when one end of it snagged the rain gutter. But, yeah, no, I didn't even... It's been so long, I've forgotten that I even have that antenna still up there.
I got very good receiving. I can't hear me all now.
To go away there.
What is going on out here?
Transmission was perfect. The other one sounded like, I don't know, you were calling from inside the subway or something.
This is on receive, too, which is really weird.
But you suspect there's something wrong with the transceiver itself?
It means it's on receive, too. I think there's some kind of Wi-Fi or something around here doing it, and I don't know what it is. It's getting into the... man, darn phones. I hate that. Man, I got a phone call. Okay, we're on clear.
Later, Katie. 2BNG clear.
UIO, KM4, DDQ. UIO, KM4, DDQ. KM4, DDQ, clear.
4 POT mobile.
KFW, how you doing, Tim?
All right, how about you? How was work?
It was very well. Not too bad at all.
Hey, I didn't ask you, but how'd your meeting go the other day? Was that that today or is that yesterday? It was yesterday, wasn't it?
Went good. Yeah, it was always good on that, so can't complain.
Do that.
We're out from our meeting place. I can see McKinney Dodge from here.
I'll probably be about the same time frame. I'm on the other side of it.
What time did you work him late?
I got off before him, so I don't know. I don't know if he's mobile or not. I would hope he is.
Down a while ago, talking on the radio, and the truck was on autopilot. He just thought it was headed to Fabri-Kal. Missed my turn. Had to go through town and make some turnarounds to get back on the right road.
Roger that. Been there, done that. Just about that time for a wide open traffic here in a second. Hope you're not caught too bad in it. But you ought to be getting ready to turn off, I would suspect.
Between the McKinney and the light. So it ain't too bad. KN4TFW.
DOT. Well, I'm just about pulling in. I'm in the little side street over there behind it, so I'm going to hop out of here, find a parking space. Hopefully I won't have to park too far away, and see you guys when you designate. KK4POT.
See you in a minute. KN4TFW.
Good one out that way. I think your name was Ken, right?
You and Al were talking, and I got sidetracked, and I got lost. I got on the wrong road. I had to backtrack and figure out where the heck I was actually going and that. So, but, yeah, you got it right. 73, hope you get your antenna worked out good and that, and I'll try to catch you on the radio maybe tomorrow sometime. KN4TFW.
KM4TFW. We do have a good one out that way, Ken. Be safe on the wheels. And I'm about to designate here myself here in just a minute. And then I'm going to be along the way down to 247 toward Belton, drop my partner off, and I'm going to be headed toward 418 and Fountain Inn, over in Fountain Inn to the QTH. And I'm going to call it a day. But 73 to you out that way, KN4 UBG, and I'll be clear and monitoring.